It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The rumor mill is working overtime here on potential staff changes remaining at the White House. You remember the other day and last week, the president suggested that there are more changes ahead. We don't know if these are going to happen, but we are told that there could be a bloodbath, if not tomorrow, then Friday at the latest. In the top of the changes I'm being told to watch for, H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor, to be out to be replaced by Ambassador John Bolton. Another potential change coming up, VA Secretary David Shulkin out to be replaced by Energy Secretary Rick Perry. Though Rick Perry has been telling people that he is really likes it over at Energy and really isn't not inclined to move over to the VA. Possibly replacing Perry at Energy would be the Overseas Private Investment Corporation Chairman Ray Washburn. And another possible departure that's rumored, this one maybe further off, John Kelly to potentially be replaced by OMB Director Mick Mulvaney. Some people I've talked to say that the president may be in a position where he simply wants to rip the Band-Aid off and get this all done in one fell swoop. Other people are saying, well, some of these cabinet changes may take a little longer than, say, swapping out your national security advisor.
Okay, John Roberts, I couldn't believe I was watching what I heard last night. Now, let me just say, because a lot of it was really good news, and because we've had our share of disappointments on the appointments of President Trump, we have watched people in the White House undermine, destroy his policies, people he's appointed. And you ask me how that happened? It's because President Trump was not an ideologue. He didn't come into the White House understanding the deep issues. He had some of them because of the campaign trail. He certainly has great instincts. But he's a businessman, and that's a very different thing from understanding immigration, understanding tax law, understanding legislative process, all of these things. And so he was really undermined just right away by establishment Republicans who knew the ropes, persuaded him to get Reince Priebus in and others, and the people in charge of hiring were never Trumpers. And I can tell you that I know firsthand that hundreds and hundreds of resumes submitted by strong conservatives, vetted by places like the Heritage Foundation, went in the trash can. Now, President Trump can't possibly know all the people and understand all of the positions. He's never worked in government before. And so the people that understood the system were happy to step in and abuse it. And that's what they did. And so we had just an incredible series of appointments that were disastrous and have been disastrous. And while the president has stated publicly his positions on things, they've worked to absolutely undermine or ignore. And we have combined with that. In fact, I should skip ahead with this other story. This is just unbelievable. I've mentioned this to you before. It isn't just that. It's like a perfect storm. I got to find this story. Mitch McConnell, I'm just going to do it from memory. Mitch McConnell is, there's like 10 Senate seats up for, Republican Senate seats up. And there's many more Democratic Senate seats up. I can't remember the number. But Mitch McConnell, most of them are incumbents on the Democratic side. So it's the time of year, because it's 2018, for them to campaign, to raise money. And in order to do that, they have to go home. Usually in an election year, that's what happens. Politicians who are, holding public office, have to, like they generally often, people will be running for president, as a matter of fact, and end up neglecting their Senate duties because they're back home campaigning. Well, Mitch McConnell is overseeing, actually, allowing that to happen. He's only requiring the Senate to work 2.5 days a week. I have to find this article so I can give you more specifics. You know what? I will find it. So 2.5 days a week. I know that part's accurate. And there, he is allowing the Democrats to claim this 30-hour rule so that supposedly every nominee that President Trump has put in requires 30 hours of debate. And so Mitch McConnell is allowing this. So experts are telling me that if they stay on this course, it will take 10 years for President Trump to have all of his nominees. Now, does that give you an idea of why we have a problem? So the president yesterday, John Roberts just gave us a hint as to what's happening here. Rex Tillerson, who was one of the chief underminers of this president on very key issues like the Iran deal, North Korea, the Paris Climate Agreement, and other things, he had a different viewpoint. So it didn't matter what the president said. Rex Tillerson, as Secretary of State, decided to do what he thought was best. That doesn't happen. It just shouldn't happen. If you don't agree with the president, you shouldn't keep the position. But this has been happening across the board. So Mr. Tillerson's gone now. And Mike Pompeo will be moving over from CIA. Mixed reviews on Mike Pompeo. Surely he's better and certainly more in line with the president's positions than Rex Tillerson. So it's got to be somewhat of a good move. And, of course, the big concern is the person that's been named to take his place is this Gina Haspel. I mentioned her to Fred Flight yesterday when we were talking. Fred used to work for the CIA, and Fred pled the fifth on this. But I will tell you that Gina Haspel, you're going to be hearing how tough she was on enhanced interrogation on waterboarding, and you're going to think, wow, I like this woman. Look at all she's done. And my inside sources tell me that's on purpose so that you will think that, look how tough she is. She's a great appointee. Isn't this great? While, in fact, she is the fair-haired child of John Brennan. And you probably heard the other national security person, James Clapper, praise her. You know what? I mentioned yesterday that was an alarm. It's more than an alarm. It is an absolute no win. There is no way that it's a good idea to have Gina Haspel be the head of the CIA. She is so much a part of the swamp. I've been told that the CIA under Pompeo has continued to operate the same way they operated under John Brennan, which that's not good. That's like undermining the president of the United States. That is like the epicenter of the deep state, that hardly any changes were made, that Mike Pompeo was manipulated by Gina Haspel. That's what insiders are telling me. And so many people feel it's an absolute disaster to have her in that place. So we'll see what happens with that nomination. You've heard the Republican leadership saying, oh, yes, Gina Haspel, she will, you know, she's wonderful. I think Mitch McConnell said something like that. And we're probably going to hear Democrats say, well, we know she was tough on enhanced interrogation. She was a proponent of that, of waterboarding and. Well, all right, so we'll, in a spirit of bipartisanship, we will vote for Gina Haspel, when in reality they know that she is completely at one with them in purpose and in method. So I'm just telling you, that's the real story about her. As you hear things unfold in the next few days, you may hear something different, but that's really the story. So we don't know. Look, John reported almost as if it's a done deal that Ambassador Bolton will be the new national security advisor that H.R. McMaster, who, by the way, it's been reported, among other things, you know, he's connected to George Soros. H.R. McMaster fired all of the really good people on the national security team and put on Obama loyalists, Hillary loyalists. In fact, we're finding out that he's been keeping regular touch with Susan Rice. So many of us are wondering, so why has he been still there? Because he has angels in the White House who have the president's ear. And we're hoping it's true that he will be removed immediately. and that John Bolton will be instated, but that's not a done deal because Ambassador Bolton is a hardliner and he's got enemies still inside the camp. You can imagine some of the people that I've been talking about. I think, you know, Mad Dog Mattis is he is not on the same page with President Trump. I'm telling you, he's certainly not on the same page with transgender soldiers, among other things. And he's been one of the chief, you know, underminers, as far as I'm concerned. I know this is kind of discouraging. I'm just trying to tell you that this is kind of the reality of what's happening. But also, I want to tell you that what John Roberts reported, if this takes place, this is all good news. This is all good news. If John Bolton should be a national security advisor, now that team that's around McMaster will be gone. I'm telling you, they will be gone. There will be so many changes. And we can pray that that really will happen for the safety of our country and so that our president can get good advice from people that he can trust. There's another story that broke last night. By the way, Larry Kudlow, it looks like, will be moving to, I think it's the title, I can't recall. It's like chief economic advisor or something. And so he's now expressing his interest in taking that. That sounds like a good move too. But this is a huge story also that was broken on Fox last night. It's clip three. Let's listen.
In another personnel move, Jeff Sessions is considering whether to fire FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. McCabe left his post at the FBI January 29th, but his official retirement date is Sunday. The FBI Office of Professional Responsibility recommended to Sessions that McCabe be terminated because of negative findings in a pending Inspector General's report. If McCabe is fired by close of business Friday, he could lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in retirement benefits.
All right, let me interject DOJ on that. Let me just say that this is, I've been asked why that's good news. He's going to retire anyway, so why shouldn't we just let him go? Let me just tell you, that's kind of like saying, you know, that guy, that vice president of the company just embezzled $60 million, but he's going to retire anyway, so just let him go. Or that chief law enforcement person just undermined the rule of law, lied in certain dealings, showed political favoritism, and that even is an understatement. Used his position, which is supposed to be non-political, as you punish crime and go after criminals, refusing to go after, it seems, from all appearances, Mrs. Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, obstructing investigations, according to FBI agents below him, went after Michael Flynn in an unjust, actually set Lieutenant General Flynn up in questioning him. I could go on and on. Because Mr. McCabe breached the public trust and broke the law, it seems. And that's why the employment disciplinary portion of the FBI has recommended he be fired. He should be fired. He's probably going to have charges brought against him. That's why he needs to be fired. We cannot have FBI agents like that. He was the deputy assistant to the director. He was second under Comey. He has absolutely ruined the reputation, single-handedly almost, although he has lots of company, the reputation of the finest law enforcement agency in the country. And so that's why he's broken the law, it appears. And that's why he should be fired. That's why he should not have pension. That's why he probably will end up in jail. He probably should end up in jail as an example to other people that you are not, just because you're a bureaucrat of some sort and because you are a partisan in your own heart, doesn't mean you can come into your office and use it as a weapon against people who disagree with you politically. That's what Andrew McCabe, it seems, allegedly has done. Evidently, the people researching the inspector general included, felt it was egregious enough that they recommend firing. That's very interesting, very serious, and I'm sure I don't even know the half of it. All right, more to say. Yesterday was that school walkout on guns, and I want to talk about that next, so stay tuned. By the way, this is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard me talking about MediShare, but now I give you my friend Sherry.
Yes, I have loved MediShare. Loved it.
Is that all you have to say? Because this will be a really short
announcement. No, I really do love it. I've saved hundreds a month. And overall, I just think it's a better choice of a healthcare program for me. I'm really happy with it. And honestly, normally, I don't even like talking about this stuff.
Nobody does.
But MediShare is different. MediShare members share each other's healthcare bills. We pray for each other. It's a not-for-profit, so we all save money.
True. Tell them about the thing.
What thing?
The online thing.
Oh, yeah, I used that the other night. MediShare members can now access a doctor online 24/7. You can get a prescription for the flu or something just that fast.
So MediShare can save you hundreds a month. You get to be part of the community. You get a huge network of doctors and providers to choose from.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
The final verdict from Jerry. So call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
And I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Coe, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
California Senator Kamala Harris is disappointed because fewer illegal aliens are applying for financial aid. Senator Harris is a Democrat. She blames what she called President Trump's anti-immigrant agenda. She says illegals are afraid to apply for student financial aid because they distrust our government. Let that thought sink in for just a minute. The people who violated American sovereignty, people who are living in our nation illegally, and Senator Harris says they're the victims? It's ludicrous, considering California leads the nation on spending for illegals. More than $23 billion, according to some estimates. That's your money. Hard-earned money going to care for illegals. President Trump is right to crack down, and it's not an anti-immigrant agenda. It's an anti-illegal alien agenda. That being said, Senator Harris seems to be advancing a pro-illegal, anti-American agenda. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. This is the article I could not find. It was in Daily Caller. And by the way, we'll post this on our Facebook page because it's something that you need to read and share. This is why, you know, it's amazing. It's really a conundrum, is it not? How to know about how to vote in 2018. When I tell you repeatedly, and it is true, that Republican leadership is just disastrous. I believe it's disastrous. Yet, if we don't support Republican candidates, the president will probably be impeached. So, but I want to read this to you because, not the whole thing, I'm just going to clarify some things I said earlier. This is the situation in the Senate. Just to set the table a little bit, Christopher Bedford writes that Senate Republicans are heading toward midterm elections with control of their chamber and the biggest advantage any majority party has had since 1790. But what are they doing with that? Well, let's see. In the Senate, they're working 2.5 days only a week in this election year. They are obstructing 139 of President Trump's nominees while they're doing it. There are 8 Republican seats up in this 2018 cycle and 26, that's the number for Democrats. So that means that Mitch McConnell is allowing the Senate to work such short work weeks that he's gaveling out, and the Democrats are rushing home to raise tons of money and to run in their home states. And they just happen to be incumbents. Kind of like makes me wonder if it's not the Senate good old boys club at work. I don't know. Why is Senator McConnell doing that? I don't know. Maybe you know the answer better than I do. So they're clocking into the office late on Monday, usually starting their work week on Tuesday morning and heading back on the trail Thursday, often before lunchtime. That's how it's going, the senators that serve us in Washington. So they're out campaigning and they're out raising money, and Mr. McConnell is allowing that to take place. So in November, 139 of the White House's nominees languished in positions from Undersecretary for Arms Control and International Security Affairs to Director of National Counterintelligence Security Center. And Christopher Wright said, it's not 10 years, it will take 11 years at this rate. 11 years. 11 years to confirm Trump's nominees. Thank you, Senator McConnell. And by the way, I've told you he has refused to gavel out the session. See, if they actually officially gavel out, that means the president could do recess appointees. But no, he, meaning Mitch McConnell, isn't doing that. He's just keeping them in session. They call it pro forma, even when they're gone. I don't know why he's doing that either. Maybe you know. I don't know. I want to know, those of you from Kentucky, why do you keep giving us Mitch McConnell? Just asking. However, he's been there. He's like an institution. Yeah, he will not be moved. And he believes in those rules. So it's taking 3 weeks longer on average to get President Trump's nominees than it took getting President Barack Obama's nominees through. And meanwhile, Christopher says, those nominees of President Obama form the backbone of the resistance inside our federal government. The deep state that liberals and the media like to pretend is some kind of hallucination possibly caused by swamp gas. And then Christopher goes on to suggest a solution to it, to McConnell. I'm not going to go into that, but there is a solution. We'll put this article on our Facebook page, Daily Caller, how a pathetic Republican Party is allowing the resistance to run the score. That's the name of the article. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, the Republicans have lost that seat in a district where President Trump carried it by 20 points. President Trump went there twice to campaign. But we're learning more things. One thing I guess I didn't see clearly until I asked more questions about it. Connor Lamb, of course, was the Democrat. The race is not over, just to be clear. They are 641 votes apart, which is very small when you consider it's 224,000 votes that were cast. There are just a handful of votes or ballots to be counted yet. It looks like the Republicans are going to challenge, and I think the next date is March 26th. When the results would be certified. But Connor Lamb ran as a pro-life candidate. That's the Democrat. Again, he's a young, good-looking, former Marine, pro-life, pro-guns, pro-tariffs, and very charismatic, and went from door to door and worked hard. And so what's the story with Rick Saccone? Rick Saccone's campaign message was, I was Trump before Trump. And my opponent will elect put Nancy Pelosi as Speaker at the House. And remember, the Republicans did tax cuts. So that was basically his message. I'm finding out that Rick Saccone was very establishment, connected to leadership. So that's their idea, you know, of a candidate. Before Rick Saccone was there, Tim Murphy served there for a number of years. It's Pennsylvania's 18th congressional district. He was forced to resign in October. He said he was pro-life, but he'd had an affair and urged his lover to get an abortion. And that kind of was the end of Tim Murphy. And so now Rick Saccone was the choice of the establishment to run. And he did what the establishment does. They don't really believe in anything. Oh, you know what? They say they do. They say they're pro-life. But, you know, the Tim Murphy story is awful as it is, kind of reminds me of what congressmen are doing in the House and what pro-life senators are doing in the Senate. they say they're pro-life. I remember like it was yesterday when we got those David DeLeiden videos showing that Planned Parenthood was, it seemed like they were selling baby body parts in the most horrific way. We saw that on camera, them bragging about it. We saw multiple administrators, doctors, nurses, whoever. And we said, we've got to defund them. We've got to defund them. But the Republicans' leadership was, you know, we'd have to shut down the government. We can't shut down the government. We're going to hold hearings. We are the champions of life. We're going to keep funding Planned Parenthood because it would be so, it might cost something if we have a standoff on this. So we just can't do that. You understand, right? Pat us on the head. You understand, you pro-life people that want to save babies and stop the selling of baby body parts. You understand why that would just be, well, that might be a problem. So, but we'll hold hearings, okay? Because that's so effective. And I, you know what I'm hearing? I'm going to do an interview on this next week. That in the omnibus, which has to be passed, that's the big, huge, mega spending bill, disastrous, that they plan to pass next week because they have to because that's a deadline, they're fully funding Planned Parenthood. I believe there's some increases in there. But your pro-life Republican leadership is all over it. Not to worry. My point is this. They say one thing, but they do quite another. And that is the reason when they run an establishment candidate, they're losing these elections, but they still don't get it. They think if they just, in fact, if you hear Paul Ryan or the other leader, Kathy Morris Rogers, what they say every 5 minutes in conversation is, yes, but we gave those tax cuts. Yes, but we passed that tax bill. Yes, but we, they think that that's the only thing we care about, we Americans. We got money, more money in our pockets. That's all we care about. We're not too worried about those babies or about immigration or about, you know, you fill in the blank about whatever issues are happening. They think that you care more about money than anything because they do. I think that's really the bottom line. Yeah, I'm cynical. I am. I have to say, there was an article by Kathleen Decker in the Los Angeles Times, which is very interesting. They did sort of a poll in this race in Pennsylvania. I don't exactly know what the metrics were, but I'll just say based on what she's saying here, and this makes sense to me, she's saying that so Saccone kept talking about taxes. In fact, I'll read a statement that he made on Fox. He said that was the Republican candidate. Every day, it seems people are still coming up to me telling me how it's benefiting them, single moms and small businesses that are expanding. So it was like, yes, but tax cuts. But the House gave you tax cuts. But tax reform. But tax cuts. Okay, so, and that's what they keep talking about. But when they did this bit of a survey, they found out that people that voted in that 18th district, that wasn't a big deal to them. It wasn't a big deal to them. The steel industry, pro-life, unions, what else? Those things were the important things to the people that voted in that district. The tax cuts did not have nearly the impact or the importance to them as the Republican leadership thinks. You know, I don't know where they get their polling. I don't know who they listen to. Yeah, I guess I kind of do. The consultants, they are just mindless. And they tell Republican candidates every election that you need to play to the moderates. You need to moderate your message. You need to, you know, appeal to the middle. We need to draw in those huge amounts of moderates that will vote for us. Forget the base. Forget the base who's clamoring for enforcement of our laws, whether it's the ability to bear arms, to immigration law being enforced. Those are the things that it seems to me, especially the immigration issue, that during Donald Trump's campaign showed that that's really what impassioned the base. It wasn't tax cuts and tax reform, which is great, but on a scale of 1 to 10, not number 1 all the time, every day, like it is for Republican leadership, who really show by their actions that they are driven really by big money. It's just astounding. I'm going to do another interview about this omnibus because it looks like they're getting ready to try to bail out a big insurance company. Big, I hate saying that because I'm not against big business. I'm not. But I'm against crony business where politicians give favors because of kickback side. That's just not free market. That's not free market anything. It's not capitalism. This is corruption. So it looks like that the Republican leaders are planning in this new omnibus to give healthcare companies tons of money. There's an article, actually, we'll put this, I'm not going to get into this today. I don't think I have time, but there's an editorial by Senators Cruz and Lee, Congressman Meadows and Jordan, and it says, "We must end the Obamacare bailout now." And they're talking about how Republicans are planning on, when Obamacare is just about dead, they're planning on breathing life into it by giving money to these big insurance companies. And I'll just say, we'll put that article on our Facebook page and you can read it, but I will be talking about the omnibus in more detail next week. All right, so the problem is that Republican leadership think that the only thing they can run on is they don't want to talk about Trump because, you know what, they don't really believe that he has any kind of staying power. They want to, I'm sure, blame the 18th District of Pennsylvania on Donald Trump, and they want to blame it on the weakness of the candidate who they were all about. Heaven knows if a strong conservative had been running in there, they would have spent millions to stop that person. That's what they always do. They like people that appeal to the middle, the moderates. And we see how that goes, kind of like John McCain running or Mitt Romney or Bob Dole or, you know, you fill in the blanks. These candidates, you know, they really inspire you, don't they? Because they don't really stand for anything, but they appeal to the moderates. And so this is the way the game is played. This is what's happening over and over again. And it is tragic. So the only thing I can say is in 2018, in each of your districts, and I'm going to do my best again to keep you informed, but I can't be responsible. There's too many congressional districts, so you're going to have to take some responsibility on your own, figure out what district you're in, figure out who's running, and then I always say that there's somebody locally that you trust, and you really need to trust them for the right reasons. Who can steer you to a good candidate, somebody that can win. We want a candidate that can win. You know, just because Aunt Martha wants to run and she's a strong Christian is not a reason, you know, to put her in a race. We have to have, they have to have financial backing, they have to have experience, they have to be well-spoken. I mean, these are just things like you can want to be an actress, but if you don't have the face and the ability, you can't be an actress. If you want to be a politician, there are certain things that you need. They have to be in place. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of a role that you play. And so those things have to be in place. And then, of course, the positions on the issues need to be good. And so find out right now, because I'm telling you, it's the primary season right now where conservatives have a chance to win. And there are many races in the country where there are some really strong conservatives. I will do a show on that, too, I promise, where we kind of maybe highlight some races where there are some strong conservative possibilities around the country. But please don't depend on that. I'm asking you to take, look, see when your primary is. Find that out because I've got them on my calendar. There's, you know, how many? 50. And so I need your help. I need you to be responsible for your own voting and for influencing your friends in your community. That's what, you know, that's why the left just does circles around us, because they take the time to organize and find out. They take responsibility. I recognize that one of the reasons they do that is they believe that this life is all there is. And so they try to do everything now because they don't really, I'm not saying everybody, but most people who really center their philosophy on the left's philosophy don't really believe in God or something future. Most of us are busy raising our families and doing our lives. And so we don't spend our time thinking we have to manipulate every detail of life or manage every situation, do or die. You know, we believe in God and His sovereignty. So, but you can believe in God and His sovereignty and still work, can't you? I think you can. So let's do our due diligence, find out where your district is, who your candidates are, find out, you know, what their records are, and let's get busy, roll up our sleeves. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. A woman was changing her clothes inside of a Target dressing room in the Woodlands, Texas, when she noticed the reflection of a cell phone in the mirror being held by what she described as a very tall man. She hollered and screamed, but was helpless to do anything. Two nearby Target employees did absolutely nothing, presumably because of their store's policy. But a good Samaritan chased the man and got a clear picture of the pervert for the police. How many more women have to be victimized in your store before you get it, Target? How many?
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
How often are you engaged in critical thinking? Are you doing a good job in your critical thinking? What part does the Holy Spirit play in this? Tune in as Ravi Zacharias tackles these questions this week on Let My People Think.
Let My People Think, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Share the message that Jesus changes lives. One way to proclaim this amazing news is by wearing and sharing the colorful American Family Association's He Lives Easter buttons. If you're a business owner or pastor, order several to give away. We encourage you to wear a button yourself and share the rest with others so that they too can proclaim this life-changing message. The button fits in your pocket and it's easy to share. They're sold in packs of 10, so get your AFA Easter buttons at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here. And I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last year, President Trump's national security strategy rightly emphasized the enormous importance of outer space to our security and economic well-being. Now, he's considering creating a new military branch, the Space Force, to ensure that our enemies cannot dominate this strategic high ground to our grave detriment. Unfortunately, some of those enemies are far advanced in trying to do just that. The Russians have long had anti-satellite capabilities and maintained such a robust ability to gain access to space that we have long paid them to get rides to our space station. Meanwhile, the Chinese have been developing satellites capable of maneuvering and attacking ours. They're also working on anti-satellite lasers, space planes, weapons platforms in space, and their own militarized space station, leading ultimately to a People's Liberation Army base on the moon. We need a space force now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
From Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, to Manhattan, New York.
As a student, I am sick and tired of being forced to be on high alert.
To Littleton, Colorado, site of the Columbine Massacre.
What do we want? Gun control!
And in the heart of the nation's capital, students walked out of classrooms across the country to protest gun violence and demand safer schools and stricter gun control laws. And also to pay 17 minutes of tribute to the 17 students and staff killed at Stoneman Douglas on Valentine's Day 1 month ago.
We, the students of the United States, have a message for all of you in Congress If you don't give us stricter background checks, you will pay dearly at the ballot box.
In Washington, students turned their backs on the White House and were joined outside the Capitol by lawmakers walking out in solidarity.
You know, we are grieving in Florida, and now you are giving voice to that grief.
We're gonna win! We're gonna win!
Yeah, okay, so that's what happened yesterday. Did you see it in your school, any of you? And anything to report, because I'd love to open the phone lines, if you have something that you saw or experienced or your kids experienced, or if any students are home and have a story to tell. I hope you're not home. If you are, you're probably sick, but you can call. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Did you see anything of interest at your local school, any responses that you think you'd like to tell us about? I was looking at some of the signs at some of the protests, just reading. Here's one of them says, save the planet, dump Trump. Never again stop gun violence. That's at one of the protests. I see one of all these grade school kids standing, holding these signs. And by the way, my understanding is the walkout was not voluntary. And of course, there are a lot of email from kids, actually Ben Shapiro published a bunch of these, of kids who didn't want to participate because they understand that they're being used for political purposes. And they wrote some really articulate email to Ben, but they've one by one said that they want to show support, of course, for the 17 kids that were murdered, but they don't want the other part. But there's such pressure, and that's what they talked about. I don't want to be insensitive, or I don't want to be called insensitive and a terrible person. Another one said, I'm going to look like a bad person. I need help. What do I do? And there were lots of those that I won't take time to read, but this is part of what kids are seeing. And some of these signs, here's one. When are kids going to be more protected than guns? Here's another one. How many of us need to die? Protect people, not guns. It's easier to buy a gun than to, I can't read that last word, no NRA money. Kids are holding this, no NRA money, as though you can see this is what's happening, is that they are demonizing anyone who does not participate. You are absolutely worthless if you don't participate in this. And the NRA now is, you know, like the devil incarnate. This is classic Marxism, leftism. You know, this is what you do. You target somebody and you destroy them. And so that's what they're doing with our kids. They're using our kids to do that. Our phone number again is 888-589-8840. And before I go to the phone lines, let me just tell you that you might wonder, those companies that severed ties with the NRA, you might wonder what's happened. I'll tell you. Morning Consult did a little piece here. MetLife is one of them. They did a little poll to find out how people felt about this. MetLife, after learning of their dropping their relationship with the NRA, respondents, the unfavorable view by respondents in this poll increased 25%. And so unfavorability ratings for the three major rental car brands associated with Enterprise, that's Enterprise, Alamo, and National Car, their unfavorability ratings more than doubled among surveyed adults after they learned about the company's ending discounts for NRA members. Enterprise, their favorability rating slid from 61 to 50%. So that's just one. And then Dick's Sporting Goods, of course, took a stand on that too. And in a Wall Street Journal article, the head of Dick's Sporting Goods said that its decision to no longer sell guns to anyone under 21 has hurt traffic and retail sales, as the move upset some customers and exacerbated headwinds to its hunting and gun business. And so there are more quantitative things in there, but I want to go to the phones. Let's just say that it hasn't been a good business decision for them, and I think that's probably encouraging to many of us who think, what, has the whole world gone mad? Maybe not. All right, let's go to the phones. Let me go to Betsy in Mississippi. Good morning, Betsy. What happened in your school yesterday?
Good morning. Well, I am the parent of two of high schoolers, so I wanted to share. It was curious for me that it was promoted, the activity was promoted as honoring the students. That was the most of it, what the my kids knew, my children thought it was going on. So I do receive an email about protests and guidelines and all that, protests in school and how to do silent protests and all that. So I read it and I start looking for information because I don't, I'm working and don't look for much news. So I spoke with my kids and my son was really specific. He's like, I'm going to honor them, Mom. I'm going to go out and honor it. It's just 17 minutes. And I said, okay, if it gets crazy, I'm telling you, this is not, I explained to him what the purpose of it really was in the background, but I wanted to give him the choice to do. So I asked him when he returned, and he said, Mom, that got crazy. People started, you know, it was so loud. And I'm like, did you participate? And he's like, no, I didn't. I didn't get involved in that. So, and I saw some news local, and it was all about honoring the students. So it's like the youth, even though they got out, I don't think they all knew. We all know that they just follow the crowd, and they just follow maybe the feelings of honoring those children, that were the victims, but they don't know what's all behind the scenes and what the organizers want really to do. So I just wanted to share that experience.
Yeah, no, thanks, Betsy. You're absolutely right. The kids are being used as pawns. Some of them, of course, are more clued in. They have very liberal parents, and so they've been coached. We know that from the Parkland teens. But most of the kids, they feel terrible about what's happened to these teenagers. And, you know, Betsy, doesn't it defy logic that if they really wanted to remember those kids and the point was to respect them, then why would there even be, even the word protest be used?
Correct. You know, I mean, that's where the warning came up. And when I started seeing that and I gave the information to my children and they're, you know, I listened to AFR. That's kind of my go-to for news and all that. And we see Fox, and we have learned so much with you guys, especially with you. And I talk a lot to them about what's going on. We're Christians, and I make them aware. I share with my church and everything. So. And that's why I was really concerned about it. So I'm glad they made the right decision and they didn't get involved. And we did pray for for the families and the students and for strengthening and all that. But there's other ways, I told them. So,
yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure we all know that it's not a lot of them. It's not as big of a crowd of what it sounds like.
Betsy, thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you, Betsy. And, I think, the point is that the left will use the images. It doesn't matter. You should see, I wish you could see this picture of grade schoolers that I saw a picture of standing holding signs. They look so glum, and they're just little kids. They're probably sixth graders, I'm guessing. And but they're a great photo op, for the left. And so it will be used. It's propaganda. And it doesn't matter if the kids are not into it. They will be used. Their pictures, the holding signs, and the numbers. And I just one word about Betsy and what she just shared. I am a strong advocate of teaching our children the whys when they're older and in navigating this complicated world, not just absolutes where, no, you can't go to that. I think Betsy was wise to let her son make that choice, but have sort of advised him ahead of time about what she thought was going on. Then he was able to see for himself. I think that was a very wise move. Anyway, I want to hear other stories. Let's hear Scott. Let's hear from Scott in Alabama. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Sandy. My grandson was 10 years old. He's a been trained in firearms all his life. He's been to several firearms training classes. His mother wouldn't allow him to go to school yesterday because of the mob mentality, knowing that he'd get in arguments about the constitutionality and the benefits of the Second Amendment. He's only 10.
10 years old. Doesn't it make you kind of sad, Scott? It's like kids, it just doesn't seem like kids should have to be in such a hostile environment in school. And yet that's what's happening.
Absolutely, very hostile.
It is peer pressure.
Not education.
No, exactly. And it's peer pressure. If you don't conform, you are, you know, you're shunned. And your children were trying to keep your grandson from. And I'm not sure it's possible. You know, I'm not sure it's possible. We're going to teach our kids to be tougher than nails. And we're going to have to be tougher than nails. Scott, thanks a lot. Let's go to Ari in North Carolina. Hi, Ari. How are you?
Good. Very good. Here in eastern North Carolina, the turnout was kind of relatively muted. I think it depends upon the city and the social context of a particular school, how the students behave. But I see the whole thing as a tremendous opportunity. These kids who went to the microphones to be spokespeople, they made great disciples. Remember who Paul was. He was out persecuting the believers,
yeah.
And look what God did with him. So every one of these kids is a potential Paul, a potential tzaddik, a righteous person. We have to change our way of thinking. What did the master tell us to do? He said, go and make disciples. If we can save the country in 2 years, if everybody... every evangelical and true believer would go out and convert somebody. Just go do what the master said.
Now, Ari, you're right. You know, I saw that happen in China. Well, I've been to China several times and interviewed, spent a lot of time with believers there. And honestly, they are so eager. Some of the times they'd be late for meetings because they'd come in with just absolute joy on their faces. The cab driver, they told them about Jesus and they just prayed to receive Christ. A few had just gotten out of prison and our jailkeeper, you know, and so they were revolutionizing China from within. And so, you know, you're right. Of course, you mentioned the first century. That's when it all started. So Ari, really, honestly, you're right to mention and to declare that the solution to all of this really still is Jesus. And so thanks for that reminder. I do want to get Beth in because she's a teacher. Good morning, Beth. So what was your experience yesterday?
Good morning. Yes, I'm a teacher. I'm a middle school teacher, alternative ed. And I had just two points I wanted to make. I am all for arming teachers. I think that it would be wonderful. I'm a veteran also. I have gun experience. I own guns. I have 5 children of my own, and I would feel so much better if their teachers were armed. That's my opinion about that. Also, yesterday, none of my students walked out, but we did take 17 minutes to talk about everything going on. And this isn't really the direction you probably were going with this, but what broke my heart were the comments that they made, and most of them were... it felt that if in the event of a shooting that and they were to be killed, that nobody would even care. And it broke my heart. But that's all I had to say.
Oh, wow, Beth. Well, that's plenty. And that is a whole other discussion. Kind of ties into what Ari just said, that how we need God, how desperately our kids, our adults. But I think of the kids because they're innocent. They are pawns and ready and ripe for teaching of some kind. Ari's right about that. And we need to make sure that we tell them about Jesus in some form or fashion. I would remind all of you of the campaign AFA has right now to put Thou Shalt Not Kill on marquees in school. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.